Praise and thanks be to the Lord for the privilege of being here to worship, to be blessed anew, and to hear the word of the Lord. There will come a time when it will no longer be heard, and then people will travel even further than they do today, from one sea to another. They will seek it, and the prophet Amos says they will no longer find it. Today it is here. Today anyone who lets himself be found by God can find it. The word of God is not somewhere. The word of God is where God himself can speak, where he speaks to us through his word. The special days that we know as Easter lie ahead of us, and it is important to me to tell you all that we remember these days in a special way, in prayer, before the Lord. And that we not only pray, but also believe. Believe what we pray for, that God gives it. Prayer without believing that God will do what you ask has no effect. It is a waste of time. If you want to come to God, you have to believe that he is there. He must believe that he rewards those who come to him, and that they will receive what they ask for. It is very important to me that the Lord comes into his own as never before, that everything that comes from the enemy should give way, and that everything that comes from God should be given room, even a wide space within us. We have heard so much of God's word that we have taken on a great responsibility. And as I sat there, the thought occurred to me, in the eyes of the people who are always probing and sorting, the question arises, why have these people now specialized in this one thing? Why don't they grind on many mills? Why don't they orientate themselves on all the evangelists and all the movements and everything that is on earth? Why have they attached themselves to this one thing? That is a very legitimate question. But beloved, the answer is so easy. It's so simple. The thought occurred to me, everyone else can preach about Moses and say, God appeared to him in the pillar of fire, and God did such and such. But then we realize that God had a man who could not only say, God appeared to Moses, but who could also testify, the same God appeared to me in the same way. That is a world of difference. What use is it to us if we can say, Saul had such an encounter with the Lord and was commissioned, and then how many thousands of sermons have been preached about it, and suddenly there is a man in the 20th century who can say, the same Lord appeared to me, spoke to me, and revealed His word and His will to me. Then things change completely. Then it is no longer the past that is to be made present, but the presence of God, in which the entire past is divinely illuminated. And that is what these days are all about. After all, that's the world of difference between all the evangelists, all the movements, everything that is done, and what God has done in this time. In the days of the Lord, all the scribes could speak about Isaiah, about every prophet, give their interpretations, but at the same time, a man sent from God appeared. He did not interpret. He himself was part of what God was doing at that time and prepared the way for the Lord. That was the big difference. The difference wasn't that he didn't wear a robe or a turned-around collar, that he didn't come from a seminary, that he didn't come on the scene in the temple or in the synagogue, or that he even wore a camel skin. The difference was in the direct divine sending, in the commission through which God's word was fulfilled here on earth among God's people. Is it any different today? Is it that we apply a standard to determine how a man is dressed, what his level of education is, and so on? Or do we have to apply divine standards in the kingdom of God? And that is what it is all about. In the kingdom of God, divine standards must be applied. And we recognize that the way of the Lord is always plain and simple, but dynamic, that it brings with it everything God has to give to all who walk in this way. Therefore, when we cling to the word of the Lord in these days, it is not because someone has appeared, but because the Lord God has spoken in a simple way, and because a divine commission, a divine sending was connected with this ministry. We realized that we had been led into the Word. Not conversations about knowledge of one kind or another, but simply God speaking, revealing His mysteries. His will has been made known, and we can pray from the heart, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When I think about all these things, I become grateful in my heart. Grateful that God has let the clear voice of His word and His spirit be heard in the midst of all the many voices. And all who are of God will listen to it, for so it is written. And they will recognize that not a man has presented his knowledge, that not a man has come with his teaching, but that we have all been taught by God, and that the knowledge of Jesus Christ has dawned on us in the presence of God, yes, that we have been enlightened about the things that matter. You know the ways of God. I brought the sermon I mentioned last night with me today. We could delve into every thought that we read in Psalm 118. Every verse has something to say to us, including verse 24. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. If you read the verse before, verses 22 and 23, then you would ask, what is there to rejoice about here? Let me read the two verses to you. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Listen, a paradox for the mind. The builders rejected the cornerstone, but they built well without the cornerstone. And then it says, this is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. About what? That the builders have rejected the cornerstone? No, that there were precious souls of God who did not belong to the builders, who allowed the Lord to build them into the church, and to whom this cornerstone became precious, and they themselves are placed into the building of God. But you have to see that those who have not opened their spiritual eyes for the mind alone, if you read it like this, it would be almost unbearable. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. And then, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. Send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. All these words are so precious, so marvelous. And we see the same in these days. All those who were busy in building, they are building and building and building, each in his own course. Some on their denomination, others on their church, others on the World Council of Churches, and wherever the threads may run, there is building and building everywhere. And our Lord speaks quite simply, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Lord has ordained the prophets to reveal his word on earth and to make his will known in advance. He appointed the apostles to bear and proclaim the revealed will of God. But the redemption of the church, the calling out of the church, the build-up of the church, the completion of the church, the calling home of the church, everything that has to do with the church, the Lord has reserved for himself. No one has redeemed. No one has called out. No one is building up. No one will bring home. He, the Lord, all alone. And we are grateful for that. All the prophets and apostles must themselves wait until this hour strikes, which the Lord has made for everything, even for the day when the Church of Jesus Christ is taken home. So the Lord does not say, Peter, you will build my church. He didn't say, Paul, you will build my church. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Today, people are building, but they are building their own churches. And so we will not be able to stand our ground before God unless we let ourselves be placed into the divine program, into the divine build-up. And that only happens by recognizing in our time what God is doing according to His Word. God will never go past His Word. God will always refer to His Word and will remember His promises. Also this verse, the Lord is God. He has given us light. Hallelujah. Praise be to Him. The Lord is God. He has given us light. Not only He has given light, what good would it be if He had given light to 1,000 people, but not to you, not to me, not to us? He has given us light. Here was another marvelous thought that is expressed again and again. Because His mercy endureth forever. And again in the next verse, that His mercy endureth forever. And again in the next verse, in the first three verses, God's mercy, which endureth forever, is emphasized. Our God is faithful. He will bring to fulfillment what He has planned. And if we understand this sermon of Brother Branham correctly, and that is what I want first of all for myself, and then for all my brothers and all my sisters, the sermon, Why Cry, Speak. When we visualize and take to heart what is said here, then we must say, O God, help us not to pray for things that already belong to us, that are already a part of the divine commission and proclamation. Here David is mentioned, Joshua is mentioned, Samson is mentioned, and here things are lined out by saying, let me read here, Joshua was anointed to take the land for God and for His people. Here is a very marvelous thought. The promise of God was with the people of God. The hour of God had come. Nothing more was necessary than to do in faith what God had promised, namely to enter the land and take possession of it. Of David it says, didn't Nathan the prophet once say to David, when David, the anointed king, was sitting there. He said, "Do all that is on your heart, for God is with you." David was anointed by God. And if we then look at his life story, after the anointing, the flight began. The whole catastrophe began to fall upon him. He looked over the city and wept and had to walk such a path that anyone could have asked the question, "This is supposed to be the anointing. If he was anointed, if he was meant to be, then he wouldn't have to flee and let it all happen to him." Someone spat in his face, and you all know the story, despite the anointing. But he knew in his heart, after all the trials, after all the deep ways, God comes to his right with him and through him. And I believe we all know that as individuals. We know that as a church. After all the trials, after we have passed them and have held fast in our hearts to the Word of God that has been given to us, we too will see the victory and the glory of God. It says of Joshua, he did not fall on his knees and say, "Lord God, what shall I do? What shall I do?" He spoke. He had a request and spoke, "Sun, stand still." He did not cry out. He commanded, "Sun, stand still." What was it? He was on the way of God, with the people of God. Something had to happen. The sun was setting. The darkness would have fallen. The battle was not over. He still needed light and time to bring the battle to a victorious conclusion. Beloved, the sun of grace is about to set. The night is coming, of which our Lord says that then no one will be able to work. May God preserve for us the sun of righteousness, that it may shine upon us until the battle is fought and the victory is fully revealed for all God's people, as in the days of Joshua. Then let the sun stand still as long as God's people go forward. What good does it do us if the sun moves? But we must move forward. What use is it to us if everything turns and moves forwards and we stand still? Back then the sun stood still and the people of God moved forwards. And we need the same today by the grace of our God, that we recognize we are on the way of God and the Lord is with us because we keep his word. Samson is mentioned here. Samson, anointed, raised up, ordained of God, given a gift of power. He was ordained to destroy the nation of the Philistines, ordained, born on the earth, anointed of God. And one day they caught him out in the field without his sword, without a spear.
Da stellt man erst beim Lesen fest, Ja, ganz genau. Gut. Aber jetzt wird
there was a page missing in the German booklet.
Zusammenhang fehlt auf der folgenden Seite. Ja. Tut mir leid.
I'm sorry. In any case, he took a donkey's jawbone and used it to kill 1,000 Philistines in one fell swoop. Today, if someone takes an old donkey's jawbone lying somewhere in the desert and strikes once with it, it's in 1,000 pieces, but not 1,000 people dead. And at that time, because God was with him, because God had commissioned him, because God had ordained him, he took this donkey's jawbone and struck, and God confirmed it. It says here of Joshua, Joshua knew that he was taking the land. He was confirmed. God's word promised it, and the Holy Spirit was there to confirm it. He was on his way, and there was nothing that could stand in his way. And now comes a sentence that reminds us of Wednesday night when we talked about Luke 10, that the 70 returned and rejoiced that the Lord was with them and helped them. And the Lord says there, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Here it says, he's anointed for the work. There is nothing can harm you. No, not one thing. Hallelujah. If we are on the way of God and the Lord is with us, then come what may, any kind of trial, whatever it may be, even if at the moment it looks as if great damage has been done, and Brother Rus has already mentioned the crucifixion. Outwardly, everything presented itself quite differently. Outwardly, the matter was over. Disgracefully exposed to blasphemy, the whole population was in an uproar. There were the scribes and the chief priests and all the people, all hell, all the people of Israel and the Gentiles. Everything was in an uproar. Only one was calm. That was our Lord. And how his disciples must have felt to see their Lord and Master nailed to the cross, helpless as it seemed, powerless as it seemed. There they stood, who had been enthusiastic about him, who had followed him for over 3 years, who had left everything behind, and now they saw their master. The accusation that he was born out of wedlock and this and that, they had to put up with many things. But now the hour and the power of darkness came, and everything went haywire. The Holy Scriptures say that the disciples were scattered. Peter also, standing afar off, was very hot, and he even cursed himself, saying, I do not know this man. We read all this today, but can we put ourselves in the position of what was going on there in the last days before the crucifixion took place? Did any of them sleep at all? Everything was upside down. All hell was breaking loose, and all of humanity was on the move. And it seemed as if God was silent. He did not intervene. They mocked. He has helped others, but he cannot help himself. If it is you, come down from the cross, and so on. What was going on? The disciples were troubled inside. They could no longer understand things. They fled. They scattered. And a Joseph of Arimathea, of whom we read nothing beforehand, comes and asks for the body so that he can bury it. Beloved, God did not even allow Peter to say afterwards, "I buried the Lord." God always takes who he wants. He does what he wants. In the midst of everything, God had his plan for humanity and redeemed us. We would ask, did redemption have to happen with such tumult, with such turmoil? Did redemption have to happen like this? Who are we? Are we supposed to be God's counselors? Then it even happened when our Lord was crucified, that the sun was darkened, and it was dark on earth from the sixth hour. The rocks cracked, an earthquake occurred, everything was in motion. In the midst of all this, God made history in the plan of salvation. In the midst of everything that presented itself to people as a mess, the Lord God accomplished an eternal redemption. In the midst of what presented itself to people as a mess, God will call forth a glorious bride and prepare her for the day of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's ways are very different from our ways, and his thoughts are very different from our thoughts. Here are a few more things that were particularly important to Brother Branham from his experiences. He lists a few things that God has done, and then he says, it was he that gave the vision about a year ago that said we would go over there, and these seven seals, and how there would be a great thunder that would start it off. And then it was he that night when I was going down that road and seen that big mamba snake about to get my brother. And he said, you've been given power to bind it or any of the rest of them. It was he that said that to my little gray-headed wife sitting back there. It was he that morning that woke me up there in the room and stand in the corner, said, don't fear to do anything or go anywhere or say anything, for the never failing presence of Jesus Christ is with you wherever you go. Beloved, we have the promise that the Lord will be with us always to the end of the world. But when this is said to someone so personally, and that in the room in which he was and heard it, what is going on inside a person, only someone who has had a similar experience can judge. There is certainty, and more than that, divine certainty is in the Word of God. But we go one step further. If there is an absolute in the Word of the Lord, an absolute certainty, if He spoke it to me or to you, as He spoke it to Moses or to any man of God, to Brother Branham, to Paul, whoever it was, if there is such absolute certainty in the Word of God, what do we do with the whole Bible? Is it not the Word of God? Is it not all written? Has it not all been inspired by the Spirit of God? Oh, what a certainty should permeate us! What an absolute should fill our soul to know God has said this, and just as He has said it, so it is. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His words will not pass away. Then it continues here. It was He up yonder in Sabino Canyon about 3 months ago when I was praying, wondering what was going to happen. I was standing there and a sword dropped in my hand and said, "This is the King's sword." It was He. It was He that said to me, "As I was with Moses, so I'll send you." Oh, if you would continue this register here, you can all do it for yourselves at home. It was He that said to me 30 years ago, down on the river yonder, as a little boy, standing there as a little preacher on the river, 30 years ago, standing there when that light, the same pillar of fire, come down from the heavens and stood there and said, "As I send John the Baptist to forerun the first coming of Christ, your message shall forerun the second coming to all the world." We could continue. It was He. It was He. He was not only. He is today. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we followed the revealed word of prophecy, and God's word remains forever. The same Lord who spoke to Abraham, to Isaac and Jacob, to all the prophets, to Moses, right into the New Testament, is the same one who had a chosen vessel in this generation, our beloved Brother Branham. And we esteem him as we esteem Paul, and as we esteem Peter, as we esteem such men whom He, our God, took and used to speak to his people. We do not worship men. We give God the glory by recognizing what he has done. His decisions are always right. In the days of the apostles, no one worshipped Paul if they believed what he preached. On the contrary, the person in question only proved that he respected God's order and decision. Anyone in this generation who goes past what God has clearly and unambiguously spoken in agreement with all the apostles and prophets must be told that he is going past God and what he is doing. There is no way to be in order with God without allowing oneself to be placed into the divine order. May the Lord be with us and bless us. Open our hearts, our ears, our eyes, everything, so that we can hear, so that we can see, so that we can experience what God has promised us for this time. The prophet in the Old Testament said, "The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm." Some whirlwind and storm may be there. As long as it is the way of God, let us walk in this way. Don't wait for the world to speak well of us and understand us. On the contrary, things will get worse with misunderstandings or whatever else may come along. But as God helps us, we will walk in his way until the end, until we will be together in glory with all those to whom his word has gone forth. And thank the Lord that he sent such men and that he had people who listened to what God spoke through them. The Lord is looking for such people, not know-it-alls, but people who can humble themselves under his mighty hand. And that is the way for God to reveal his salvation to us and for us to praise him. Humility is not in the neck, it is in the heart. And when it is there, we will find grace before God. For thus it is written, that God gives grace unto the humble, and lets the upright succeed. May God bless us all, and with us all, his worshipping people. What a privilege in these days to hear the clear word of God and to be aligned according to this everlasting word. May the Lord be with us all. Amen. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. I'm glad for all the precious words of God that we were allowed to hear again by his grace. And I believe it should not only be that we hear them, but that we reflect on them and go forward and understand what God means, what he wants to say to us, because God means well with us and wants us to pay attention to his word and to the instruction he gives to his people. We are his people. We are his elect. Yes, indeed. He has brought us light. If it were not so, things would be different. But because he has brought light, and that has become very great to me, that's why everything has come this way. Many things may be seen as a mess in the eyes of man, but in the eyes of God, everything is marvelous. This is the day that the Lord has made. Yes, dear brothers and sisters, and though people may not understand it, but may God give us grace that our eyes and our understanding may want to be opened to what He is doing, not what people are doing. That is my heartfelt desire and prayer. May God bless us. We are glad that He is going on, that He is speaking to people, and that He is sending people. We are not in a position to pull people, and we don't want to, but our desire is for God to send them. And if He sends them, then He will also provide the right food and everything that is necessary for it. We have experienced that the Lord is able to do everything. He is able to do everything. He is the Lord. And however everything may turn out, we are in His hands, and He will bring it to pass. Glory be to His name for it. Now let us offer Him worship. Let us rise to do so. Heavenly Father, we thank You together for Your precious and holy word, for all the precious thoughts, Lord, for the light You have brought in our days. O Lord, You have enlightened us. We worship You. We praise Your glorious name and ask You to enlighten many more, Lord. Grant Your salvation to many more, especially for the days that lie ahead of us, Lord, when our dear brothers and sisters come, and people, Lord, who have not yet fully understood, may You be merciful, Lord, and may You help, Lord. We ask this, Lord, and pray to You. Bless us and all Your people with us, Lord, and everywhere in all lands, in all nations, in all peoples and tongues. Lord, may You give beyond asking and understanding, Lord. Lord, we want to praise Your name and exalt You, Lord, for You are an eternal God. You are a God from everlasting to everlasting, Lord, from generation to generation. You have not yet changed, Lord. You are always the same. You were with Moses, with Abraham, and all the prophets, Lord. You are also with us in these days, Lord. We worship You. Lord, You have always worked in marvelous ways and had wonderful ways, Lord, with Your people. Even if it sometimes seemed, Lord, as if everything had come to an end, but then You went on, Lord, and made Yourself known in a mighty way, even in our days, Lord. We thank You and we worship You for this, in the precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to Your name. Amen.